Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to another packed edition of the Highland Bullpen Baseball Podcast, coming to you this week from Scotland, but with a little touch of America thrown in as well. I'm here with Yorkshire Dave, our fan of the Boston Red Sox, with Dave Jr., fan of his beloved Chicago White Sox, Detroit Tigers, diehard Allens in the chair as well. But we also this week welcome a special guest, Kevin Doig, once of Scotland, but for the last past 2 decades living on the Pacific Northwest in Tacoma, and a big fan of the Mariners. So first of all, Kevin, great to have you on board this week.
Thank you.
Now, Kevin, I know it's 2 decades now since you left Scotland. I'm sure, first of all, we're all pleased to hear you've still kept your accent. But we're really keen to hear, Kevin, the experience of a fan from Scotland in the Seattle area. And first of all, we wanted to ask, what was your earliest kind of memories of the Mariners? What was your first exposure to the Mariners?
Well, when I first moved here in 2000 from the East Coast, because I was living in the New York area before. They were just about to demolish the Kingdome, which was the old stadium downtown there, and they built Safeco Field. And then, of course, in 2001, they had that historic season where they won 116 games in the regular season, I believe. Didn't do very well in the playoffs, and haven't made the playoffs since in the last 24 years, 23 years, or something like that. So it's been a bit of a frustrating time. Being a Mariners fan, not making the playoffs.
Did you get a chance to go to the Kingdome before it was demolished, Kevin, or did you just miss out?
No, I missed out. I'd been there many, many moons ago to watch a baseball game when I was out here on vacation. But yeah, it's gone now, so.
Were your memories of it, Kevin? Do you remember it clearly?
The memories of the Kingdome, dark, kind of like as I don't know if you guys saw the Willy Wonka exhibit that was going on in Glasgow recently.
News has spread, yep.
It came on the news yesterday, and I was like, oh, that's just like the Kingdome used to look like inside.
Scotland hits the worldwide press, eh? I know.
It made local news out here in Seattle,
Word.
let alone national news. And they were all giggling away. They were like, oh, finally some news from Glasgow, Scotland. And I was like, what?
Oh dear. For anyone that's missed it, it was an alleged family attraction based around Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And it's fair to say it did not live up to expectations. You wouldn't have, I don't think a golden ticket. For a golden ticket, you'd have expected a lot better than that. So the shamefaced organisers are having to refund folk, I believe. But it certainly achieved worldwide notoriety. If not fame. So there, Kevin, that's 20 years and more then since you first went over there. Did you have an early hero among the Mariners players in those early years?
I mean, obviously, Ichiro stands out, the biggest one I could think of, really, because he played there for so long. Even was at the game where he got traded to the Yankees on the Monday, which was the day of the first game of the three-game series against the Yankees in Seattle. And so you went to the game, if you hadn't been listening to the radio or watching the news, you went to the game and you'd see Ichiro standing there in a Yankees uniform. At home, he basically took his bags and his clothes from one dressing room to the next dressing room in the same day. So it was sad to see him go, but he ended up coming back again, you know. But he was a legend, you know. Played the game very well.
Yeah, and Yorkshire Dave just put in those damn Yankees, which as a Boston Red Sox fan is a phrase that he uses plenty. And it must have been quite strange, Kevin, because I see you arrive in Seattle and then first season, that 116 game season, you must have thought, this is a team that's going places. And I'm not claiming you brought them bad luck, but they've not made the playoffs since then. And have you had any seasons you look back on as real missed opportunities for the Mariners?
Not really. They've always just been kind of getting close, but not really. Two seasons ago, I actually bought tickets for the playoff game, which they should have made. And the game they get knocked out against the Houston Astros, I think it was like an 18-inning game, and they lost 1-0, and they didn't get to the playoffs the next day, so I didn't have to spend $400 on my playoff tickets. But I was all set to go. But yeah, every year you kind of start the season optimistic as a Mariners fan. But you have to start optimistic, because you know you can't just start off pessimistic, you know. Otherwise, you wouldn't enjoy it.
No, absolutely. And obviously, Kevin, like all of us, you grew up here in your case in Scotland and the United Kingdom in generally, and we grew up with football. Yorkshire Dave and his part of the world grew up with cricket and rugby as well. But obviously, baseball isn't one that many of us encounter when we're growing up. So how did you first kind of fall in love with the game? Because even when you went to Seattle, you could have made American football your favourite sport, for example.
It probably is, honestly. Baseball was definitely a secondary sport. And in all honesty, when I first started going to games or watching games, I found it pretty boring. It was like, there's nothing going on here. Can somebody please hit the ball? You know, can somebody make something happen? But luckily, I got to a very good friend of mine, which I still travel today to go see different stadiums around the US. He basically taught me the game over the last 24 years going to games with him. So he was big. The more you learn about a game, the more you get into it and the more you follow it. So it's been a exponential growth of that, you know.
Fantastic. And you mentioned there you've had the opportunity to travel a bit and to get to see baseball played in different parts of the US. Could you talk a little about some of the stadium you've been to and any favourites among them?
Definitely, it was in Fenway last year, Dave, there. That was definitely one of the bucket list stadiums to go to. Boston was a fun town. We walked all over town and ate as much seafood as we can get our hands on. I didn't have one cup of clam chowder, but I did definitely get a bunch of clams. Cleveland was an eye-opener. I kind of enjoy going to cities where I would maybe never normally go due to sports. So Cleveland was an interesting one. It was a cool stadium, kind of similar to the Mariners stadium. San Francisco is an awesome stadium because it's right on the water there. You go to a night game, the fog will be coming up over the walls of the stadium into the stadium. It's right down there in the water in the city. And that's a great stadium to go to as well. So a few more on the list to get to at some point, but, you know, just trying to make it happen every other year, something like that.
Do you tend to go and watch the Mariners, Kevin, or you just whatever the schedule suits?
We try to go and watch the Mariners, but it depends on just sometimes we go and see two other teams. Yeah. The guy I go with is from Quincy, Mass, which is south of Boston there. Right. And his family, we kind of triangulate in different cities together. So yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Mariners, but it definitely works out well if it is.
Cool.
It's kind of fun to visit a city and be one of thousands of visitors from the same place, kind of roaming around a little bit, you know.
When you mentioned your bucket list there, Kevin, where's number one that's left for you?
Are you a White Sox fan?
I am, yes. I know which way you're going to go.
I'm not saying that's necessarily on my list. I mean, definitely Wrigley Field. But if I'm going to go to Wrigley, I'm going to try and hopefully catch a game. I don't know. Do they generally have series on at the same time?
No,
they don't. It's always opposite.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. Camden Yards in Baltimore. I'd love to go there. I'd love to go to Pittsburgh. And then going back to the story about going to places where you would never normally visit, I wouldn't mind going to see St. Louis Cardinals or Detroit Tigers.
Places you would never go to visit, eh?
I mean, I don't know. It's not a high in my priority list
no.
of places I might try and choose to go to, but that's the great thing about traveling for sports, yeah. because you might go to a city. I've got a buddy that bartends in Indianapolis, and one of these days I'm just going to fly out there and surprise him and go and soak up that city and whatever the sports have to involve there too. So,
what about, if I might ask you, Kevin, just extension of that one, you seem like a big sports fan in general, and bringing it back to Willy Wonka, I give you the golden ticket. You get to choose any sporting event, any stadium. What would your absolute number one go-to be? Any sport?
Any sport? Wow. look, there's so many. I mean, I could start with one and then I just start thinking about other one. I mean, I could go. I'd love to go to the US Open. I'd love to go to Wimbledon. I'd love to go to one of these games in South America. Between, you know, some of those big teams with the crazy rivalries going on down there. I'd love to go to the World Championship snooker at Crucible in Sheffield, honestly. I'm a big snooker fan, but I don't get to watch it over here very much. So I'm just trying to think of other ones. Far-flung stuff, really. I mean, I'd love to go to a game in Italy in Serie A. Yeah, I can't really think of too much else right this minute.
A lot of good stuff in there. What about the Super Bowl, Kevin?
Well, Mariners were in the Super Bowl a few years ago. We lost to the Patriots, which was a very sad day. I don't know if you guys remember that game.
Yeah, the Seahawks.
I said the Mariners. The Seahawks, and then we won it a year before that, actually.
Yeah.
So I got to go to the downtown victory parade, if you like.
Wow.
There's about 100,000. Actually, there was more. There was like 700,000 people downtown.
Right, yeah.
Freezing cold day. Everybody just getting drunk. Pretty crazy, honestly.
Disgraceful, eh?
Yeah, you never get that back in Scotland, as I'm sure you know, Kevin.
Well, it's just like Glasgow Airport at 5 o'clock in the morning in the summertime there. You don't.
And it's, I know, like, different cities and different teams have reputations. Their fans have different reputations. Kevin, the Seattle Mariners. How would you define the fan base for the Mariners?
I would say probably a wee bit vanilla, if that's a phrase that translates over there in the UK. Yeah. I'm not sure. It's a kind of newer franchise. They don't have the same history as the likes of the Red Sox and Yankees, etc. But Tigers, White Sox, whatever. It's a family friendly atmosphere. Honestly, it's not like the other sports. Even NFL football, the fans can be pretty obnoxious at times, and that's put it lightly. I had a guy spit in my face one time, and you know, there's always like too many people too drunk at the football, you know, but it's not really a family event. But baseball's definitely a family event. They do a really good job.
I had that once, the guy spit in my face, but I just stopped drinking with Dave.
It's an interesting observation, because I've been a few American sports, has never really crossed my mind, but it probably makes a lot of sense what you're saying there. It's a slightly opposite one. I was at Soldier Field and they were playing the Bears were playing the Jaguars. The Jaguars scored a touchdown or a field goal in the last couple of minutes to win the game, and there were only 20 or 30 fans, and they started celebrating quite wildly. And to me, that was really weird, because they're in amongst all the Chicago fans, and going to football in Glasgow and Scotland, you think, no, that just doesn't happen. But it was probably a different type of experience. But I've seen probably a few videos on Twitter that you don't really want to see of drunk fans behaving inappropriately. But the baseball is a good family day out experience.
And don't get me wrong, football, the stuff you see at football games is nothing like what we see in the UK historically at football games. When I say football, I mean NFL. But, you know, it's nothing like the hooliganism and the fights in the street, and you don't really get any of that kind of stuff. It's more just drunk bozos at the game, you know, so that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you mentioned the family thing, and that's obviously, I've been to a couple of games in the States, but we go to MLB London on an annual basis, certainly over the last couple of years since it's become a thing. And every time I go, I think they're just so good at doing this, so good at making it a family experience, so good at making it something you'd be happy to go to with your wife, your girlfriend, your partner, your kids, whatever. And it is a real highlight, I think, and it's there. Yeah, and so the Mariners fans, you reckon a bit vanilla in the grand scheme of things. I can understand that, as you say, it's a newer franchise, so you can kind of see a bit of that. But this season, Kevin, looking ahead, you know, you mentioned the Mariners are so often the nearly men in terms of just falling short, just that little bit short. Do you have more optimism than you normally have, or less this year?
I had a little less optimism this year, but maybe that's a good thing, because the high optimism hasn't really worked yet. They did lose one of their main relievers yesterday. They're going to announce tomorrow what the situation is, but it's sounding like UCL to me, which often ends up in Tommy John surgery. Yeah. So that's a blow, especially close to the season like this. It's hard to kind of find a replacement for that. But they've got great starting pitching. They've got Mitch Haniger, who came back from, I think he was with the Giants last year. I think they've got a lot of good players. Unfortunately, they're in a tough division with the Rangers, the Astros. You know, it's not an easy. When the Astros first came to this National League, the American League West, which is what the Mariners are in, they joined from a different conference and a division. And I thought, oh, good, here we go, the Astros. We'll get some wins off of those guys, because they weren't very good at the time, but they're obviously the best team in baseball the last few years. So
always strikes me that Mariners seem to be a lot of people's second favourite team. They seem to be quite, you know, there's nothing to dislike about them. There's nothing to absolutely love, unless you're perhaps from the city. But they seem to be really well thought of in the States.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, we've never really had a culture of winning. So I think that's maybe why it turns out to just be kind of like a fun event to go to. But the diehard fans, the ones that actually do follow the sports, and they're not really there just to eat the candy floss and the $16 beers, we love to win. I'd love to see playoff baseball here in Seattle. So maybe I might have to go somewhere else first to see it, though. We'll see.
You're looking for a big season from Ty France? Kevin,
I actually got a little Ty France home run ball here that I caught a couple of seasons ago.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, thought I'd bring that along to the meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
When I say caught, it's one of those ones where it bounced over the top of the thing and bounced off of here and bounced back over there. There's about 10 people scrambling for it, and then it kind of rolled down the back behind me, and I just reached down and picked it up. I was like, okay, what's mine then? So, but I tell most people I caught it, so.
Well, your secret's not safe for us, Kevin, so I'm just glad to hear you didn't beat up some 10-year-old kid for it, like you sometimes see fans.
No. Yeah. But yeah, I'm hoping for a good season from Ty France. Apparently he's lost a bunch of weight, slimmed down at least, and, you know, I guess there'd be concerns about whether he's going to lose some of his power that way, but to me, he's not really a power hitter anyway. He's more of a contact hitter. So I'm excited for Ty France this year. It's a good question.
Good stuff. I think we looked at last week at the Pecota ratings. Is that what they're called? Dave Jr. Yeah. And I think that predicted the Mariners to come in, I want to say 86 wins. It was predicting around about that kind of area for them, which would be not enough again.
No, they'd have to exceed that in the division they're in, probably, you know.
Yeah, but does that feel like a decent guess at this stage, Kevin, for how many they might win?
Sure. Hopefully more. I mean, it's hard to say. Hopefully not less than that. Less than that would be not a good season.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And of course, Seattle hosted the All-Star game as well. Just, was that last year, the year before?
I believe that was last year, yeah. They came downtown and kicked out all of the homeless people that were living down in their tents down there for the event. A few days later, they just kind of let them all come back down there and hang out again. So that's kind of a little bit of the darker side of what goes on around All-Star Weekend. You know, it's all about making money.
Yeah. And were you conscious, was there a really big influx of fans from across the country, Kevin?
I think there was. Like I said, I live 31 miles away.
Yeah.
A little bit separated from Seattle now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think probably a lot of people went to it, you know, from different places flew in.
And you mentioned you live now in Tacoma there, Kevin. I noticed you're sporting a very natty Tacoma. Is that the local minor league?
So the AAA team now is called the Seattle Rainiers. Tacoma Rainiers.
Right, after that.
But originally they were called the Tacoma Tigers.
Ah, right. I was wondering about that as well. I wonder if Alan might have found another minor league team to follow. I've just seen the Tigers there. Because we've spoken before about minor league baseball, AAA and stuff, Kevin. So have you been to many games at that kind of level?
Before I go into that question, is it the Mud Hens? Is that the name of the
Toledo Mud Hens? Yeah.
Toledo Mud Hens, that's right. I was just thinking that. I kind of like to go. I can walk to the stadium from here. The beer's cheap. It's a kind of much more relaxed atmosphere. You can go along, check out some innings. It's not too expensive to go to and watch a full game if you want. Or, you know, it's just kind of a more like even more fun, family relaxed atmosphere, you know.
Does the guy Harry Ford play for the Rainiers, the British guy?
I don't know. I don't know about him. I haven't heard about him. Is he a pitcher?
No, I think he's a outfield player.
Is he really? I haven't heard about him. Right. I need to look him up.
I think he made a bit of a breakthrough with the British because GB did quite well in the World Classic or whatever it's called last year, World Baseball Classic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, I'll check that out for sure. It's always good to kind of have a reason to follow somebody, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure Alan will lend himself well to the colour scheme for Tacoma.
All right.
Yes, is that green and gold? Is that the Tacoma the colours there, Kevin?
That's the old Tigers. No, the Rainiers colours are red and...
probably going to say white and blue, and Alan might be on board.
Red, white and blue, aye. So I take it, Alan Ford, is that his name, Alan Ford?
Harry
Ford. So who are you talking about, Alan? You're talking about Alan here?
I am.
Yes. Alan's a Rangers fan, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there might be a wee bit of rivalry in the bullpen here.
So. Okay, all right.
And as is Dave Jr.'s a Rangers fan as well, Kevin, so I'm very much on my own. Whereas Yorkshire Dave, who lived up in Scotland for many years, he has teams the Hibernian Hibs fan in Scotland there. So do you get a chance, Kevin? I'm sure it's probably not top of your list. Do you still keep in touch with Scottish football?
I keep an eye on it more than anything. I watch EPL almost religiously weekly. So I kind of focus on that, and it's really kind of a wee bit hard to get games over here from the Scottish leagues. And I don't know anybody that's playing anymore. They're all my age or older. So no longer playing. Most of them not even coaching. I don't really know too many guys that are still coaching over there either. I was happy to see Big Dunk back in business. Like I said, Richard, this week up at Inverness Cali Thistle there. So
absolutely.
Fun to watch that.
I've always believed you must be some secret relative of Duncan Ferguson, Kevin, because you've been obsessed with him for many a year.
No, I just, I don't know what it is. It's just I kind of like to follow. The biggest thing is I was more intrigued by anything else about how he always ended up keeping a job at Everton, no matter who they brought in as a manager. And then Ancelotti comes in and Big Dunk's still Ancelotti's like sidekick, you know? And I think I told you the theory I had about that, Richard, was I think Ancelotti used to let Big Dunk go out with the players, but he was kind of like keeping his eye on them.
Right, okay. So
I think Ancelotti probably thought, well, they're going to go out, they're young men, they're going to go out and party and drink too much anyway, but as long as we get Big Dunk here keeping an eye on things, you know. So I feel like he might have had a role like that with Everton over the years.
A sobering influence. I've
something.
Never
I don't know about sobering. No.
Did your paths cross when you played then?
No. He was. I don't know how old he is now, but I don't remember ever. I think probably when I was younger and playing, I believe he was probably down at Everton. So, yeah.
I'm always going to assume he just stayed there because nobody's been brave enough to tell him he's fired over the years, Kevin.
Maybe he just had this kind of iconic talisman figure to him.
Going in Inverness. The other side of me is I'm from the other side of the Keswick Bridge, so I grew up watching Ross County in the Highland League.
Okay, cool.
Big Dunk's popular there. I guess he gets stuck into everything that needs to get done.
Okay, good.
Club as well.
Yeah, I wish him all the best, honestly. The game needs characters, you know. So
yeah.
Stuff. When you're young, Kevin, and coming through the ranks at Kilmarnock and stuff, did you play up in Dingwall at all? Did you ever
I played at Ross County. Don't believe I played at Inverness Cali Thistle. I'm not even sure. Well, I did play once there, actually. Yeah, I played most places, honestly. The only place I never played was Ibrox.
That's not such a big deal anyway, Kevin. Don't worry about it. Can you remember much about your up at Dingwall?
I don't remember much about Dingwall. I remember it was a long drive and I don't remember too much about it, honestly.
We quite often forget quite a lot of what's happened as we come home as well in the train as well. I've been taking a few of these guys on a trip up there for the day out.
Right. So are you guys the guys that all went to Holland recently also?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something we do fairly regularly, Kevin. And I guess it's one regard we're lucky. Obviously, America's got an awful lot to recommend it. But we're lucky here. We can jump in a plane and an hour and a half later be in a different country with a whole different football culture and get the chance to experience that. So that's good fun too.
And are you guys all based in the UK?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've
maybe we should rendezvous for some baseball in America at some point.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a plan.
I'd be happy to come out to the East Coast, you know, if it makes it easy, so.
That would be terrific, because I think it's something we have spoken about before, and I think we are destined to do at some point in the near future, so we would absolutely take you up in that, Kevin. And I can't remember your bucket list ones you mentioned earlier on, some of those that might be easier to get to. I don't know if Chicago.
I wonder if Dave's got any ideas about an East Coast team that he might fancy seeing.
I'd go back to Fenway, and for you guys, it'd be great to go to Fenway. It's an iconic stadium, and it's a fun city. I mean, I'm going back there for the Boston Marathon in March of 25. So I'm it's a little early for baseball, unfortunately. But I'd go back to Fenway again. You know, I'd go to Met Stadium. I mean, I've never been to Yankee Stadium, but the new one.
See, New York sounds a good shout as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Anywhere you go, you can have fun. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go have some beers and check out the local culture, and it's great, man. It's great to travel.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely. And your travel's taken you south of the border as well, hasn't it, Kevin? You've been down to Mexico over the years as well. I know that's a favourite spot for you.
Yeah, we spent 6 weeks down there last January. First, we flew down there for 6 weeks. We didn't go this year because we went back to the UK, but I'd love to find a way to spend 2 or 3 months out of the year down there. Wow. It's not that far off of what we're trying to do, honestly.
Oh, fantastic. And baseball's popular in Mexico as well, isn't it?
It's pretty popular in Central America, Mexico. Soccer is too, you know, football. So
I've seen this. We sometimes do speculate, don't they, that MLB might at some point have teams or a team or two from out with the US and Canada, where it's always been.
Yeah, they might do. They might do a better job, like you say. But baseball has a much stronger Latino following than NFL, for example. They tried to do it NFL in Mexico a couple of times over the past few years, but I don't think it really worked out. Which is why they're now doing it in Germany. I think they can make more money over there and get a bigger fan base as well.
What's the big attraction for Mexico, Kevin? What kind of kept you there or interest you?
It's easy for me to, living on the West Coast, it's easy for me. It's like a four or 5 hour flight. Mm-hmm. I fly down to Puerto Vallarta, which is on the Pacific side, and I travel up north from there to some smaller towns. I like to try and learn Spanish And it's easier for me to immerse myself in a language to go there. It's at least half the price of everything is here. That helps. So, and it's great to be in kind of a third world country and live on the beach and go surfing as many days as you can. So just many, many things, just many like adventures. And a big thing was definitely the fact that you can go down there and live for half the price, at least for a while, you know. So
you don't fancy surfing in Scotland?
I do, actually. I do. I never had thought about it at all until after I left Scotland and I learned how to surf out here. But I've been up to like Thurso and places up there where it looks like it could be world class. And I know there is world class surf up there. So one of these days I'll get back there and I'll rent a board and maybe I'll fly back with my board and go and have a little Scottish, maybe UK bounce around trying to find some places to go.
Yeah. Cornwall's good for surfing as well, isn't it? And Nicky and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's a great thing too, having been away, to come back and explore the UK again, like I did recently with my wife. She's American, and it's great to come back and just check out all the culture of the UK and all the different stuff, you know. We just finished watching Ted Lasso last night. I don't know if you guys have seen Ted Lasso. I fought it for a long time, but we finally got into it when we came back from the UK, Richard. And we're quite upset that it's finished, actually.
I know, it's top stuff, though. Really enjoyed it, I must say, really enjoyed it. And you mentioned there, Kevin, you landed over in the West Coast, at least, in 2000. So you've spent, I know this because you're 38 like myself at the moment, but you've spent half your life now over there in the States, more than half your life. And do you still feel, you know, like you're born and brought up and raised in Scotland and had most of your early years here, but do you consider yourself Scots-American? Is there such a thing?
No, I consider myself Scottish.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, no, that's fair dues. And the accent, as I say, seems to have been there. The Ayrshire twang still seems to have survived. Did you ever have it when you first moved over, Kevin? Did people have any issues understanding you or anything like that? Any?
Yeah, very much so. When I first moved to the East Coast, I was coaching football in New Jersey. And I learned quickly that I had to enunciate differently. And then out here in Seattle, I bartended in Seattle for 20 years. And busy bar environments, I definitely also realized that I had to not change my accent, but just speak more clearly and be heard, you know. But it definitely done me no favors. I mean, it's done me lots of favors having a Scottish accent out here too, so I can't really complain about it.
Kevin, obviously you've experienced the world of football in Scotland, the way the fans, how fans are in Scotland, but also how players, the transfer system, whereas in America and all American sports really, it's very, very different, the whole kind of draft system. You don't have promotion and relegation the way you do with football clubs and the United Kingdom. Did it take you long to get your head around how all that worked?
Not really. I mean, they don't have the same. Most people leave high school here and go to university before they go to play professional sports, which is different from in the UK where, you know, I mean, I signed an S form at 14 and left high school at the end of fifth year for 16. But you don't have people out here, not too many people doing that out here. They are a little bit older when they get to go to their professional team, which probably helps them a little bit. But college sports is a massive money-making situation too out here, you know.
Who's making the money? The colleges?
Colleges, yeah.
Yeah.
And not the athletes. And that's something they're trying to fight back on right now.
Right. So I think I did read there was a move to get the athletes remunerated for that more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I kind of, part of me agrees with it. Part of me thinks that they should earn their stripes a wee bit, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a debate right now.
They get massive crowds for some of the college games as well, don't they? Like over
100,000 often, you know? Yeah.
Which is it's incredible. And clearly, whenever you've got a crowd as big as that, somebody's making money somewhere. So I can see both sides of it, Kevin, well, as you say.
Well, you go to a town like Nebraska or something like that, or, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska, and or even Green Bay, Wisconsin, if you're thinking about places like that, where there's not really much else to do up there. In Green Bay especially, or in Nebraska, really. But support football, but go to football and have your game, your life entrenched by it, you know.
Absolutely. And you mentioned there, Kevin, how the different approach, you know, the American sports people seem to most often come through that college system, etc. And it is different to how it is in Scotland in particular. And obviously, your own football career, Kevin, you mentioned you signed S forms with Kilmarnock at 14.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you went through your career there, developed, were part of a very talented generation of footballers in Scotland. And a question I was going to ask you, Scotland seems to always do well up to a certain age range in terms of footballers. They seem to compete well, as you did with some of the best teams in Europe. But we don't seem to be able to help those young players kick on. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts yourself on why that might be.
Is the game in Scotland good enough for kids to want to emulate, to go and play in that? Or does the likes of the Premier League in England seem like a much more something you might dedicate yourself to more than that?
Yeah, I suppose that's a difference from when we were all young, when you know, I think Scottish football, we had more heroes to look up to in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, you have the players played for Liverpool and all these teams in England, you know.
Leeds United. Yeah,
so, I mean, I love to follow Scottish players playing in England or abroad. I love to see Kieran Tierney, for example, getting a game in Real Sociedad and getting to live in a different country, learn a different language and culture. I think it's pretty cool for him to get to do that rather than the language on the bench at Arsenal like he was. So, augurs well for this upcoming European Championships coming up. I think that Scotland look like they've got a pretty solid team. Could do with a striker.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a fan of the job that Steve Clarke has done then, I imagine, Kevin?
I mean, sure. I don't know too much about him, honestly. I mean, I've kind of known him to be part of the game for a number of years, mainly with Chelsea, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, though, I mean, you get guys like McGinn, McTominay, Billy Gilner. He's now getting a regular game at Brighton. Kieran Tierney, John Robertson. Is that his name? John Robertson?
Andy Robertson.
John Robertson played for Hearts way back in the day, didn't he?
I know Yorkshire Dave nearly fell off his seat when you mentioned that name.
He was a Hibby as well. He grew up a Hibs fan. He played for Dinah Hibs as well. But
for some reason,
he was in the same team as Keith Wright. And they never signed either of them. So I don't know who was in charge of the scouting back then. But Keith Wright cost him about $500,000. And then John Robertson cost him about 30 Derby goals.
Absolutely. And Kevin, Kevin, looking back then on some of your own experiences, you mentioned, we're talking to you the other day, you mentioned about playing for Scotland against the Netherlands. I think, was that an under-16 international, Kevin?
I think it was my second cap, under-16 schoolboys in Rotterdam. And I think I mentioned we're playing against Seedorf and Kluivert and those guys. And for me, the thing I remember about that game, other than the fact that I get kind of taken to the cleaners by Kluivert and company, Seedorf played middle of the park, and I don't know if you guys remember Charlie Miller that used to play with the Rangers. He kind of played Seedorf off the park a wee bit, actually. It's kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, it was a real talent, and I wouldn't feel too bad. You're not alone having been had a tough time with Patrick Kluivert, Kevin. That's one of the top strikers of his era. And Charlie Miller's a classic example, maybe, I think, and it looks slightly different in that he went on to obviously have a good career with Rangers in Scotland as well. But he was very much, I think, along with Kevin Harper, maybe, talking about Hibs there.
I played against Kevin Harper when we were both younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was going to Easter Road, there was one of the lads who used to go to all the youth games, and for years before he sort of broke into the first team, he was telling us about this young lad who was coming through the system, and he was a terrific player.
Yeah, I played against him, like directly against him, being a centre half, and he was centre forward quite a few times. So I think he's still involved in the game, no?
I believe so,
Okay.
I mean, was he a tough customer to come up against, Kevin? Was he one of the better players we've seen?
I mean, if it's going to stay in this five circle of five people here, I encountered more problems with other players, but he was a decent player, yeah.
He was quite a weak guy for a striker, wasn't he? And mobile and quick, if you know, fairly skillful, if I remember rightly. He'd play out wide as well a bit.
Yeah. Good guy. I mean, I always liked him, so yeah.
Who would have been the other kind of outstanding talent she came up against at that point, Kevin, there?
Oh, man, I played with and against so many great players. Paul Gascoigne Paul Gascoigne a few times. I've got actually a picture. I should have looked it up for you. A picture of nutmegging me playing killer reserves against Rangers reserves. And there's a picture of Gaza nutmegging me. And you can see his face and he's laughing as the ball's going through my leg and it's taken from behind me. And I'm just kind of looking back and the ball's going through my legs. I played with Robert Pritz. He's an absolute legend, classy player, great player. Just many guys. I remember playing at Parkhead one time against Charlie Nicholas and Frank McAvaney.
Oh, wow.
Which was quite entertaining because, you know, they were past their prime, I guess. And you can imagine what the two of them would be like playing against a bunch of young boys from Kilmarnock.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I don't know if you kept pace with them on the pitch, Kevin. You probably did, but I wonder if you could have kept pace with them in a night out afterwards. That might
probably
be
would have. That's probably then. Probably no problem doing that at all, actually.
Oh, great stuff, great stuff, and great memories. It sounds like you have looking back on that, Kevin.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'd love to run into a lot of people I played with for sure at Kilmarnock. I'd love to still be playing. I'd love to have continued my career way longer than I did. But that's just the way things, that's the way the cookie crumbles a wee bit, you know.
I'm still playing. And yeah, I know you've always spoke highly as well of your experience with Tommy Burns as well, Kevin.
Oh, he was great. He was like a father figure and then some, bringing a lot of the young guys up through the ranks at Killy. Taught as many good lessons in life, you know. Good ways to go forward, and it was sad when he left Kilmarnock, let alone sad when he died, obviously, but it kind of changed the course of a lot of the young guys, where they went after him and Billy Starr left Kilmarnock, honestly. But that's the way the cookie crumbles, like I say, that's what happens.
Yeah, time matches on, but
he was probably the guy that sort of, Kilmarnock fans might hate me for saying it, but he sort of elevated Kilmarnock.
I think so, definitely. Yeah. And actually, if I think back in his styles of training and the way he wanted us to play the game, it's kind of akin to how the modern game has become with the heavy pressing and possession. And we played possession almost every day in training for a long, long time. And it was all about the heavy press and passing the ball the way you're facing and keeping it simple. And he was kind of a wee bit ahead of the time with that, I feel like, in Scotland. And I don't remember if he took it to Celtic with him. I'm sure he did. I'm sure he didn't change his policies. But, it was great to have played in that such situation. Starkey was Billy Stark was a great mentor too, you know, so.
Yeah, no, they're good guys, and certainly you're not alone, Kevin. I've heard many people say similar things about both of them as well. So it's a really positive legacy they left, both in the guys that remained in football, but also guys like yourself who went on to do different things in life. But still, what a really positive experience that those guys helped to shape as well. Yeah. So that's a really nice note. What we'll do now, guys, is we'll have a little bit of an update from around the league, so to speak, Kevin. This is a section where the guys kind of give us our latest thoughts on what's been happening with their teams this week. So we'll do that, but really welcome and very much looking forward to you chipping in and joining in with us this little bit as well, which should be fantastic. So I think we'll head right over from Seattle over to Boston to the Red Sox, to Fenway, and to Yorkshire. Dave, what's the latest for your Red Sox, Dave?
I've kind of tuned in a little bit to the spring training, but it's very early days even for that. And the first couple of games, you kind of didn't really have anyone playing who was on the 40-man roster. But they have I noticed the starting pitcher in each of the games has pretty much been one of the guys who's going to be in the starting rotation. And they've just pitched a couple of innings to start off with. And I noticed that three or four of them had a two-inning no-hitter each. So you had guys of Garrett Whitlock, Brian Bayo, who was the breakthrough pitcher last year. And good news from the White Sox guy we picked up, Lucas Giolito. He went two innings, another no-hitter. Two innings. And, the headline was he shows off his rejuvenated repertoire. So he's coming back off a couple of tricky seasons after his injury. So they're hopeful, but they really need another starting pitcher. And I think there's not too many on the free agency list left. As a guy at Rangers, is it? Texas Rangers, Jordan Montgomery, left-handed pitcher. And they reputedly have spoken with him, but they don't seem to want to spend the cash. They're concentrating on what they've got. And I think they have a pretty good coaching setup there, Alex Cora and the new pitching coach. So hopeful, but I would like to see that signing go through Montgomery just to boost the pitching. I think the batting lineup could be okay, but a lot of young guys in there, and it's a little bit untested, and it's not like Boston really. They haven't got as many veteran guys as you would expect. Rafi Devers is really the face of the franchise just now, and he's only 27, but he's hit a couple of home runs already in his few at-bats. So hopefully him and Trevor Story and one or two others will be able to score the runs. They usually can score runs. It's more about the pitching, I think. So I'm getting a bit more hopeful.
Good stuff as well. Thanks for that. I'm going over to our other Dave. And how are the Chicago White Sox faring this week?
After my little update last week, again, there's not a lot of hope in Chicago in the South Side anyway, about how things will go for this season. There's not a lot of expectations around the players. We've let a lot of big names go, brought a lot of perhaps experienced pros in to try and get the clubhouse in a bit of a better shape. Our one win in spring training so far has been against, just checking my notes, Seattle. Sorry.
Well, it's funny because I was just about to tell you not to think about the results in spring training. Don't you?
Oh, no, that's the only one I'm thinking about. But again, Seattle and the White Sox are going head-to-head tonight again already, which is sitting 3-3 just now. Yeah, but I suppose the one little note from this week in Chicago land would be Garrett Crochet made his comeback. He's at Tommy John last year. He faced off in his first outing against Shohei Ohtani in his first appearance for the Dodgers. So there was a whole lot of anticipation. The crowd was just absolutely packed for a spring training game, and Ohtani was struck out in his first appearance, his first plate appearance to the Dodgers. So that was one little bit of trivia. Maybe going back in years to come, they can look back and say, well, what was his first actual plate appearance? And of course, after that, his second plate appearance, I don't need to tell you what he would have done, knocked it completely out of the park, which is what he does. So not a lot going on in Chicago, just ticking over until opening day.
No, thanks for that update as well. And going across there, Alan, I know you mentioned the Red Wings having a good year. Are you more hopeful or less hopeful about the Tigers having a good year too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Detroit will have 3 out of 4 playoff teams in 2024. and given everyone knows that certainly won't be the Pistons, then the Pistons actually... are almost off being they're one win away now from not being the worst team in basketball. The Red Wings, I think, are on a 6-7 game winning run and establishing their place for a wild card. But yeah, the Tigers, who knows? I'm glad Yorkshire Dave was nicely diplomatic there and didn't mention today's spring training result where the Red Sox managed to beat the Tigers 5-2. But the big thing for the Tigers this week in spring training, much like Dave Jr. was saying, there was Casey Mize, a former number one draft pick, only managed two outings last year, again injury. He returned to the mound in game this week. Interesting situation where he was taken out in the first innings. I think he was struggling a wee bit and was presumably then going to come up against some batters that didn't want him to. But they actually put him back into the game, which they're allowed to do in spring training. I guess you can understand why they don't do that in competitive games. But it was good for Casey then to get back out, had a good solid second innings, and left the mound happy. So that's important as he continues his rehab. And another item of note, I guess, in spring training as well is the Tigers had a tied game. That great curse of American sport that they do allow games to finish in draws in spring training. So a 9-9 draw with the Rays, although they were, I think the Tigers were 9-2 up at one point. 31 runs they conceded in their first two games of spring training, the Tigers. I'm not going to mention the name of the damn baseball team they played who knocked 22 past them. But as Kevin said there, don't worry about the results in spring training. Get the players ready. Get us good to go. And we'll be ready when the season starts.
It's a long season, you know.
Yeah.
And you're going to go ups and downs. And it's just the nature of the 161, 62 game season, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. And Alan mentioned there that the Detroit Pistons and stuff. I know we covered, Kevin, your experiences with baseball and American football. Have you ever been to basketball games at all? Is that a sport that floats your boat?
Yeah, actually, the only NBA jersey I own is a Detroit Pistons jersey.
Could you play the rest of this season, maybe?
No, I'm definitely not good at that. Yeah, it was Chauncey Billups. Do you remember Chauncey Billups when they won the league back in the day? I used to go to a lot of Seattle Supersonics games when I lived in that neighborhood.
Yeah,
back in the early 2000s, that was great. But obviously, the team got sold to Oklahoma City, which left a bitter taste in many people's mouths for a long time. And I still know people to this day that boycott Starbucks, refuse to go to Starbucks because it's owned by Howard Schultz, who was one of the owners of the Sonics, who essentially sold the team when he didn't need to sell the team. So that's maybe a different story for another podcast, but
it's an interesting topic, that the selling teams and franchises moving, because it's just a horrific thought for British sports fans, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, imagine Leeds United get, moved to, Birmingham or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of the, it's just crazy, It's much older game in the UK too, though. I mean, you think about it, it's like some of these stadiums have been around for hundreds of years, so.
Yeah, it's funny because the Oakland, I think Oakland was the first stadium I was in. I watched Oakland 30-odd years ago. So I've got a little soft spot for them, and this carry on over moving to Las Vegas and stuff like that. I think that's
Are you talking baseball, Richard?
Yeah, back in baseball, Kevin. Sorry, okay. I should have made that clear. But yeah, this carry on with them moving to Las Vegas, so it just seems to have been a disgrace.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I'm not sure what's happening. I don't know what the latest is.
It just looks like a hot mess all round, doesn't it? So, but it does illustrate how it can go wrong. Sorry, Dave Jr.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave Jr. I thought you were going to come in there. But yeah, we can talk another time about the latest misfortunes of the A's. But that's probably us face the final pitch on this week's Highland Bullpen. Thanks for listening, folks. And we're back in the bullpen next week.